Hi, yeah, it's Overball. And you listen to Extra Features.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Doug.
And this is episode 230.
I have a question for the group. I don't know if you guys participated, but I try to participate in the 31 days of October horror every Monday. Can anybody make it through this? Like, I'm too busy to watch a horror movie every day.
I try, but I fail all the time. It's too hard. It's hard to watch a movie a day and still have a job and a family.
Okay, so it's not just me.
I mean, I find it hard, and I don't have anything to do.
I don't watch horror movies regularly, so it's probably very difficult for me.
Okay, that was my question.
If it was a movie a day, it'd be no problem.
I can do a movie a day, no problem.
But is horror that's the tough problem?
Yeah, I can watch three or four, and then I need something different. I find I like watching them throughout the year, so I save them for October, so I have a tweet a day for 31 days, but I don't watch them all within that month.
Yeah, I feel like you need a... Because I know horror is not your favorite genre, so you probably need a palate cleanser.
Pretty much.
A comedy or something.
Well, I felt good today because I could get up and I could watch something different. So I went to my DVD shelf and I picked up a couple of films I'd never seen and watched those. Like, I feel good. I don't feel guilty about watching them, I guess.
I don't feel scared about watching them.
Yeah. Well, I'm just afraid. Like someone said, you didn't watch horror? Or aren't you supposed to be like, I don't know. I just couldn't do it.
No.
I love horror films. I could watch a horror film a day. I just don't have time to watch a film a day. But I love horror films. I think when they're done right, they're some of the best genre films available.
Yeah.
But can you say that about any genre? If a good superhero movie is done right, it's a good superhero movie.
There's so many stinkers in horror.
And there's so many stinkers in superheroes, too. Look at the whole DC lineup.
Am I answering everyone?
I mean... It's like everything. I mean, I think a good drama is the hardest thing to do because I think they're so boring, most of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think a good comedy is hard to do.
I agree with that, but I think if it's a comedy, you get a couple maybe minor jokes in there. A drama, it's all talking. So if you don't have an interesting problem or interesting actors, you're screwed for an hour 40. Because a comedy can come in an hour 30 to be out. A horror can come in an hour 30. A bad kids movie is an hour 20 to an hour 30. A drama is usually 1:45 to 2.
Yeah. You need good character work, good acting, good story, good dialogue. Yeah, I mean, with comedy, I feel like there's more leeway. Because, like, even if there's a couple of chuckles, I feel like most people are going to be like, oh, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, okay. Not most people, though.
I guess we should start with our first movie. Which one are we doing? I can't remember.
Judy.
That's what I thought.
Starring Renee Zellweger, Jesse Buckley, Finn Wittrock, Michael Gambon, Rufus Sewell, Bella Ramsey, and Andy Neiman. Or Neiman, I don't know.
Who watched this besides me? I don't even know which one of you guys.
I saw it.
Okay, so
I did not get a chance to see Judy. I apologize.
No, you're good. You want to start, Simon?
I'll start with Judy. I can't say I'm the biggest Judy Garland fan. I think I'll start there. I mean, I've seen numerous of her films. I think she's a great singer. And after I watch the film, I do read occasional reviews, and somebody was bitching about Judy Garland singing, and I'm like, no, I disagree. And then they went into Renee Zellweger singing her own stuff. I'm like, yeah, Renee Zellweger's an okay singer, and okay. She's obviously auto-tuned a lot, and I think she sang those songs numerous times. Is it the best parts of the songs and made her one song out of it? Because I don't think it was just a one take like Anne Hathaway and Les Mis. I definitely think those were reshot and edited in afterwards, which is fine. I think the film has some fundamental flaws. It's, I guess that was only 2 weeks in England. And I really don't think we get to know Judy that well. Do you know what I mean? Like, we only see that part. We see the end of her life and pretty much what a train wreck she is. And how she can't keep things together. And she has no idea what's going on. You know, she's just looking for glory. And I think the film also downplays her a lot more than I would think that she would be. I mean, they're saying she's not doing that good at this. She has no money. I understand she has no money. I get that. That's why she took the part in England. But I also feel, I think she was more of a star than they kind of get at here. And I really do believe that. But I, on the other hand, I think Renee Zellweger convinces me she's Judy and does perfect mannerisms of Judy Garland, talks like Judy Garland. And I think probably would act the way I would feel Judy Garland would, which I think was the whole point. And I really think she probably will win an Oscar for this role, shockingly, not being the biggest Renee Zellweger fan. But overall, I think the film suffers a lot from, there's really nothing else developed in the film other than Judy the whole time. How do you feel, Dan?
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, if there's not a good performance from Renee Zellweger, it's a bad movie. But it is a good performance from Renee Zellweger. Like, there's a lot of moments that are really nice, and like the last song she sings there is really good. Like, that was probably the best scene of the movie for me. Yeah, the supporting cast is fine. I didn't really care for many of the characters other than Judy. I mean, her daughter Liza Minnelli's there for like one scene. Yeah, I know you've probably seen Judy Garland in a lot of movies. I've only seen her in Wizard of Oz. Didn't really know much about her life story. Didn't realize that she had bipolar. And like you said, like her handle on everything isn't there throughout the movie. So she's struggling to keep her kids. I thought it was an interesting part of her life, but the more interest I had was the scenes when it went back to when she was on Wizard of Oz set, and I thought those her scenes were good, but there wasn't enough of them.
Well, again, I agree with you. It doesn't go to any backstory. It kind of just gives you a little bit with her husband, and then we get here. And I really felt there was a lot of stuff we're missing. So, I mean, it wasn't so much a Judy biopic. This is 2 weeks of Judy Garland's life, you know, the end. This is her last big hurrah.
Was it only 2 weeks?
I think it was 2 or 3 weeks. And from what I read, it was worse than what we saw in film. It kind of cleaned it up for the film. She was even worse on stage.
Oh, and that was... She was really bad at times. I mean, it's heartbreaking seeing, a big figure, just struggling like this, you know?
Well, I mean, addiction to painkillers and stuff probably doesn't help. I mean, she was doing a lot of pills. And drinking a lot. I mean, she wasn't allowed to gain weight and this and that. That's what the whole cake scene was about. That the studio tried to control what she ate, and she had to stay petite and all that. And that caused her issues. And they kept giving her pills to help her sleep and stuff. But you would have to know that backstory that they don't really tell in the film until the end. So, I mean, other than Renee Zellweger's performance, is there much to see in Judy? I would argue no.
The music's good, but you already know that. I mean, there's I like some of the choreography, like that trolley song or whatever.
That's and then in St. Louis.
Sorry.
That's from another one of her movies, one of her big movies.
Okay. So yeah, and then the Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I was going to be really mad if they didn't do that.
Well, they kind of have to, because I mean, if Kevin's going with his mom. You know what I mean? His mom will know that song. It's a grandma song, right, Kevin? Is that what you call it?
I guess.
I mean, they have to put that in. There's no choice.
Yeah. I was getting antsy for them to do it.
Oh, because the only one you knew. I got it.
Yeah.
I want to hear Kevin and Doug's take in the future. I want to really see what they feel about this, especially Kevin. I want to see if he gets into it.
You know, it's funny. As you tell me the storyline, it reminds me a little bit about the Stan and Ollie movie.
Very similar, yes.
They both had to go to the UK to revive their careers.
Yes. I think the Stan and Ollie movie had a little bit more depth to the film than the Judy one. But I gave it the same score because I felt the same way about it. Sandy always a little bit more slower than the Judy. The Judy has a better pace, I think. It does know what it needs to do and gets to it.
Yeah, it's interesting, hearing your take, Simon, though, because, the tweet, this, you gave it, what, a 6 out of 10?
Yes.
But I thought there was more negatives than you had positives for it.
I'm kind of in the middle. Like, there's a lot of negatives in this film. I thought the script was very choppy at times. It just doesn't give you enough depth.
It's like, it feels like there's a 2 out of 10 for everything, but a 4 out of 10 for, like, alone for Renee Zellweger, you know?
She gets a 10. Renee Zellweger wins the Oscar. She's my pick. I'll tell you guys right now, she'll be my pick. Unless something blows me away. I wouldn't give anything else in this movie any votes. Zero.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the only character developed outside of Judy was like those two guys that kept coming.
Which really did happen. They went to every show.
They really did?
They really did exist.
I wasn't sure if that was like fiction, but I just thought like seeing like how much she's struggling, but she still has these fans. I thought that was an interesting aspect.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. If your picks, Renee Zellweger for the Oscar, I don't think she will, but maybe Florence Pugh in Midsommar could give her a run for her money?
Not a chance. Doug, you saw this. Well, I know you did.
That's my segue.
I know it is. Doug, you're up first.
Well, no, let me do the cast.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. Midsommar, Florence Pugh, Jack Raynor, William Jackson Harper, Wilhelm Blumgren, Will Poulter, and directed by Ari Aster.
See, I would say you forgot the biggest star, which would be cinematographer Paul Pogorzelski.
Oh.
I thought the cinematography in Midsommar was astonishing. It was just beautiful from the opening in the cold with the death in the house, to the gorgeous, like, Swedish countryside. I thought everything about this film was gorgeous. And I will go as far as to say Florence Pugh was phenomenal in this film. I think she is definitely a star on the rise. Between this film and earlier in the year, she was the lead in Fighting With My Family. I think she is going to go lots of places. I think she's an astonishing actress. Later this year, she'll be in part of the Little Women ensemble. I think she will definitely have an Oscar nomination in her future. Whether it's for this film, excuse me, I can't say for sure, but I absolutely thought she was fantastic in this. And as for the story itself, I was sucked in. The horror aspects of it was a slow creeping terror, but it worked. When scary things happened, they were pretty scary. And a lot of times they happened in broad daylight, and it was gross and disgusting and beautiful all at the same time. I was a big fan of this film.
Dan, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So the interesting thing I thought was that, like, you know, it's in Sweden, but like it's actually filmed in Hungary, I think, for most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Yeah, no, I agree completely. Florence Pugh is phenomenal in this. I mean, I think that if this wasn't released in June, she would be like much more in the conversation for the Oscars. I thought the supporting cast was great. Will Poulter, like the comic relief there, that was cool. Did everyone see this here?
I did.
I didn't. No.
Okay. I don't see, like, you don't know what you're getting when you go into this, so I don't really want to spoil too much, because I think it's an interesting thing that, like, we're watching as, like, an outsider's point of view. We don't know anything about these customs, and just watching everything unfold is disturbing as fuck. Like when it hits the 1 hour mark, that's when I was like, okay, this is getting really good. And then just the whole, like, because it's a long movie, it's 2.5 hours, so the whole, like, hour and a half had me hooked. And I thought the setup was good. I like cult movies, and I think I didn't really like
it. You hated Wicker Man.
I was about to address that. I think the Wicker Man is with my problem with that was I didn't really care about the characters that much. I thought the character dynamics here were really good. And I thought the acting was really good. And I think that's what made me interested in this more so than The Wicker Man. Oh, I just thought The Wicker Man was boring. I mean, this has boring aspects, but I was more intrigued by the story here.
Okay, I guess I'll be the dissenting voice on this one. I did not enjoy this film. I tried hard, guys. Really tried hard. I just did not buy half the crap Florence Pugh was trying to teach me. I couldn't accept it. Like, the whole boyfriend, they should have broke up at the beginning of the film. That should have been done with.
But they should have, but there was extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, because her sister died. I kind of heard that. And then she shouldn't have gone to Sweden. And I'm kind of like, what the hell? I had problems buying that right off the top. I'm like, okay, I'll let it go. And I just thought this film's running time really killed me. It was too long. And then the big thing at the end, which we know we're talking about, when she has to choose somebody, I had to disagree with, because what the issue was earlier that she got mad about, he was drugged. You can't blame him for that. He had no idea what he was doing.
But he didn't care about her at all.
And she didn't care about him either.
No, so that's why she made that decision.
Yeah, exactly. And she's like, oh, I guess I should do shrooms. I couldn't buy this character. I like Florence Pugh, an actor. I liked her in the Macbeth movie.
Lady Macbeth.
I am enjoying her acting. I just had a lot of problems buying this film, some of the choices the characters made. Like, I just from the beginning, they all go to this weird ritual, and I'm just like, I don't know, maybe it's just me. It was too long for me. I found too many parts boring and just basic decisions I had to disagree with the characters were doing.
Yeah, I mean,
and even the people in the village are all laughing. Like, I didn't buy any of it. I mean, I guess I had the exact opposite problem. I had the problem you did with Wicker Man, Dan. I couldn't buy into this cult. I tried.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because, I mean, I read Doug's review. He was speaking wonderfully on Facebook. Other people were. I said, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. I found it really boring for me.
Well, you didn't like Hereditary either, did you?
I gave the same score as Hereditary.
What score is that?
4.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, I give Doug full credit. I did think it was a well-shot picture. I did like the depth of field. I really thought the cinematographer brought out colors in this film and really gave us a shot of how big the cult was. Like, I really did enjoy that. I felt the picture was very big. They could have shot just on one field, you know what I mean, Doug?
Mm-hmm.
But he did. Whoever directed did a good job to show us there's different rooms, there's lots of cultists, they're doing this, they're doing that. And the sense of isolation, I will definitely say, was built into this film.
There's always stuff in the background, too.
Yes.
Like, on the walls, the murals on the walls sometimes give hints about what's coming. And there's actually one scene where in the background, in the trees, in the foliage, they CGI'd the face of Florence Pugh's sister into the foliage. It's incredibly subtle, but it's in there, and it's disturbing as hell. And actually, one thing I wanted to say was, everybody talks about how disturbing the film is. I think it has some really wicked, dark humor in it as well. The whole thing with the bear, from the bear just in a cage to what happens to the bear at the end. I found that pretty funny. And I guess I'll just call it the sex scene. The big sex scene.
Yeah.
I was laughing at it the entire time. I found it wickedly, darkly funny at times.
Yeah, and I mean, and there's something darkly funny about, Danny, old Pugh's character, like screaming, like she's just screaming in agony, and they're all just like mimicking her.
Yes, they were. They were.
Yeah. And I mean, like the more obvious, like funny parts, like the pubic hair thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty gross, but yeah. No, yeah, I mean, yeah, with everything in the background, like Ari Aster, like no, like because he directed the Hereditary, he knows how to fill the frames, and it's yeah. He does a great job.
So wait, this is the same director as Hereditary?
Yeah, that's why I asked about Hereditary.
Oh, so I gave it exactly the same score and felt exactly the same about it.
Yeah, it's a slow build.
which is, I don't know, maybe just not for me. I don't know. I mean, that's my one other people's opinions. I'm glad you guys liked it more than me. I just thought it was too long for me. They chopped a good 40 minutes out of this. I probably liked it more. I just found too many scenes. I was just like, let's get through this. Let's go.
I mean, isn't the director's cut 3 hours? Because there was 30 minutes they could have put back into it.
Yeah.
That they had to take out to get an R rating because it was originally NC-17.
Yeah. So.
So you want, you just want like a whole hour off instead.
Yeah, that's like me. I want the, if I'm going to watch a 240 movie, I need to be amused for 240. Like when I saw Avengers Infinity, Endgame, Kevin's going to kill me. But I mean, I think there's 20 minutes of that film could go. And I could pick the 20. Kevin would be mad at me, but I would say those 20 minutes can go. Kevin?
Yes?
There's nothing you would remove from Endgame, correct?
No, it's perfect. I'd add more to it.
Okay, see, there you go. But that, I just felt the scene when Stark's talking to himself, I'm like, this is going on way too long. On the plane.
What do you mean when he's talking to himself?
When he's got his mask in his hand. And then before Captain Marvel shows up.
Yeah, whatever.
I was just too late. But that's what I felt for Ben Samara. There's so many parts of this. I'm like,
you're trying to back up for.
Okay, I'm not going to get involved.
I'm sure you have problems with The Shining then and other great movies.
Nope, no problems. Shining, I love.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Joker too, so we'll see.
Oh, God.
See, I had no problems with Joker at all. So, okay, well, I don't know.
You gave that a 10, right?
I gave a 10 out of 10 Joker, yes.
Yeah. Okay, Crypto.
Kevin, you're out.
Clever transitions. So, starring Bo Knapp, Luke Hemsworth, Kurt Russell, Alexis Bledel, and Joe Hennessy.
Oh, that's who that is. Alexis Bledel. I couldn't
think of it. So, Luke Hemsworth works for some company investigating... What does he work for? Does he work for a company or it's an insurance company or something, right?
He works for an insurance company.
I don't even remember.
Yes, you're right.
And he looks for redundancies and other things. And anyway, something he's uncovered annoys the people in the main office. So they send him to somewhere in upstate New York where he actually came from. And his father and his brother are both there. It's not Luke Hemsworth. It's who's the main character? Bo something? Main actor?
Bo Knapp.
Bo Knapp. Okay. So anyway, yeah, there's just some fishy stuff going on involving cryptocurrency and stuff. So I don't know. I vaguely even remember this. It was such a dull movie.
Nah.
And I didn't really like any of the performances. I don't know. It was just kind of one of those fillers that kind of shows up on cable television or streaming services and stuff. Kurt Russell phoned in a performance.
Oh, he was barely in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's barely in it. Okay. I just watched this last night. I finished it off. I can't explain this movie. It doesn't tell you anything. It's kind of like, this is what I do for a living. He mm-hmm. sends him back to his hometown. I'm like, okay, something's going to happen. He goes to meet his own friends. He starts investigating, da-da-da-da. And the friend goes, if you're watching this, you need to watch this video. So his friend, halfway through the movie, we get to know his friend. Nothing has happened. He's literally going back. It felt like I was watching an indie film. But they have no money. And he goes to meet his friend. His friend's into cryptocurrency. Look at all this stuff's going on. And his friend figures out the problem. Not him. His friend does.
Mm-hmm.
And tells him everything. I'm like, okay, great. This is where the movie's going to go. There's probably about half an hour left. Something's going to happen. Nope. They wrap up what they did in the first 5 minutes. They kidnap his dad to get the crypto drive to get his friend's Bitcoin.
Right, but it involved Russians and money laundering.
Right, but that's never explained. He literally phones his boss and goes, hey, the art dealer is running Russian drug money through this and that, and the FBI shows up and the film's over. I'm like, was that it?
Well, and it's also being orchestrated by his boss at the company.
Yes.
Right? So, anyway, it's like not a very good movie.
No, I was disappointed. I'm like, okay, they spend all this time setting this film up.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't do anything. His buddy does it and gets killed. And then the film is over, literally dead. He hands over the crypto drive.
Okay.
To the Russians. And the FBI shows up 30 seconds later, film over. I'm like,
that's it? Sounds so bad.
Mm-hmm.
This is even the premise, I was like, you know what? I don't think this is a movie I want to watch.
Well, you guys know me. I don't read anything about films. I just watch them. I have no idea usually what a film's about.
Now, is the third Hemsworth brother good or no? Probably not.
Is he the main guy, the third Luke? He's not a...
No. The older brother who came back from whatever war where he's shell-shocked and...
Oh, he plays his brother. He doesn't do anything.
Oh, okay.
He plays a bit of a desk. He's in it for 15 minutes.
Honestly, when I was doing the cast list, my brain registered it as Liam Hemsworth. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Didn't even realize it was Luke.
Let's just say I expect Doug's son's film to have more depth than this film.
Ooh.
Like,
you might be putting too much hope on that, but...
I highly doubt it. After watching this, I'm like, literally, okay, it builds. It's giving me a build, and then... We get to the end and the FBI shows up, film over. I'm like, that's it? This film is terrible. Absolutely terrible.
I mean, as long as it's not about cryptocurrency, probably has more depth. Right, Doug?
Well, I mean, cryptocurrency is pretty thin as it is. I mean, I don't get cryptocurrency myself, and this movie also went over my head, or not even over my head, it just... bored me. I couldn't. I'll echo what everybody says. I just couldn't get into it.
Okay.
And Doug, if your son filmed the movie about your Tupperware cabinet, I'm sure it'd be more interesting than this film.
Fair.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you could film penguins walking down the street or a bunch of little kids at a bus stop for 5 minutes. It would have more depth than this film.
Well, that's just cute.
Or a bunch of Americans going to Sweden for a festival.
That had more depth than this film, for sure.
I mean, it's great. Great tourism trailer, like commercial for Sweden.
Come to Sweden.
You guys want to go to a midsummer festival?
And get a rock to the head. Don't touch anything.
Yeah. Though I think it, I mean, it's not really got to do with the story, but I think it's so interesting that, like, the sun, I mean, it's like, what, like 3 hours of daylight in northern Sweden in June?
Yes.
Yeah, like sets at like 3:45 a.m. and goes down at like 10 p.m.
Yes.
So I thought that was cool.
It only happens anyway, once every 90 years.
Yeah, like opposite of 30 days of night, right?
Yes.
Okay, next one?
Yep.
All right, Slaughterhouse Rules, starring Finn Cole, Simon Pegg, Asa Butterfield, Michael Sheen, Nick Frost, Hermione Corfield, and Margo Robbie for like 3 minutes.
Right.
So I assume you saw it, right, Simon?
Of course I did.
Did everyone see it?
I saw it. I put it on the list.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I only saw a little bit of it. I didn't get a chance to finish the whole thing. I apologize.
No, don't apologize. You did a right thing.
Okay. Daniel, did you see this one?
Yeah, I watched it back in, like, April, though.
Okay. What a classic.
What a classic piece of shit? Is that what you're trying to say?
I mean that in the exact opposite.
Are you trying to kill me, Kevin, with crypto and Slaughterhouse Rules, my double bill one night?
It just showed up on Crave, and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll watch this. It has Simon Pegg in it. Oh, my effing God. What a giant turd. I don't know. I can't even go. What was this? Was it a horror movie? Was it a college movie? Was it
I couldn't tell any of the characters apart. I didn't know any of their names. I'm like, they all look the same.
Hey, it's Harry Potter class system. Hey, there's fracking. Hey, there's creatures that come out of the hole and like an hour in. Hey, there's a criminal misuse of Nick Frost and Simon Pegg. And then Simon Pegg Yeah, Simon Pegg can't even take a
hold on. Let's back this up. Criminal Misuse of Margot Robbie.
Yeah, yeah, no.
She's barely in it.
All I can say is somebody must have lost a bet or owed this director, writer, director a favor or something, because you could not consciously choose to be part of that picture. You had to have been coerced or something.
I mean, yeah, but I mean,
it's just complete garbage.
No, that's true. Sorry, yeah, like Margot Robbie like Skyped herself in for the role. She phoned, literally phoned it in.
Right, I was thinking like she's doing the director a favor.
Yeah,
someone a favor.
Well, oh, wasn't a big hype on this movie the fact that it was Simon Pegg and Nick Frost's first film from their production company?
Oh.
Well, they should close it.
They're done. Doors should be packed up and done.
I wonder what drew them to this script. I mean, it didn't, from what I saw, I couldn't get into it, and I watched what I watched because I'm a big Simon Pegg, Nick Frost fan, but I don't see what attracted them to this particular story to be their first movie that they produced.
Yeah, I don't know either.
This film makes no sense ever. It has a beginning that makes, I didn't mind the beginning when they're setting things up, I kind of get it. But it never goes back to those things. Ever. And then we get these weird monsters that show up and Nick Frost is just wandering around aimlessly.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is terrible. I don't understand what is going on at any time during this movie. I don't know any of the characters. Like I said, they all look the same to me. They all talk the same. None of them have anything doing anything.
Yeah.
Kevin, stop watching Crave TV is what this is telling me.
You know what? I give you movies because you will watch anything, so I'll give you crappy movies as well.
Thanks, Kev.
Well, that's all right. You make me watch the things that are questionable too, but I can't figure out why this movie even exists.
Yeah, it's just a boring movie. Like, the class system's not interesting at all. And I mean, yeah, like all the characters, like, they sound the same, they look the same. It's just a really boring. It's so boring, and then the creatures aren't even that cool. And that whole thing about, like, the Nick Frost's brother or something being lost under the school, does that ring a bell? Because I feel like that was somewhere in this movie.
It was.
Like, in the tunnels or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. God. Anyway.
Yeah. You won't, like, yeah, I watched this, like, what, 7 months ago? You won't even remember it tomorrow.
I can't remember it from last week. I watched it, like, Tuesday, and it's now Sunday, and I can't tell you anything other than I freaking hated it.
The only thing I can say is the movie is the equivalent of going out for a night of drinking where you just don't remember what happened.
Literally. And the movie was over, and I'm like, what did I just watch?
You killed brain cells along the way.
Oh, yeah.
But you know distinctly that it wasn't a fun night.
Yes.
Okay. I think me and Kevin had one of those nights at the Unicorn.
God. That was a time ago.
I remember that night.
And my birthday party.
Oh.
Or no, Fuji's your birthday.
I remember that night very well.
I'm surprised.
The bottle of tequila. Shot him round every minute till his bottle's done. Can't take me home yet.
Mm.
Oh, that was a rough weekend.
Simon had two bodyguards. They basically were sitting around watching, waiting for him to fall asleep, and then as soon as he did, they took him out.
Yeah. Was that a bar in Toronto? Unicorn?
Yes.
Yeah, but we're talking about a party at my house. So anyway. What's the next movie on our
hold on,
list?
Back up before we move on. The best part of your house is the 1999 party. When you guys had a bartender.
Yeah, we did. We had a drink list and we had a little bar and we actually each tended bar.
And I drank the bar menu. I remember that night.
Yeah.
I was really rough.
Probably twice over.
Yeah.
Well, now everybody had to pay into it so we could stock the bar.
Yeah.
Cool. And then the tonight they're going to party like it's 1999. The house was jumping up and down. My one of the bookshelves almost fell down on people.
It was
the bar was bouncing.
Okay, continuing on.
Okay. Side notes. Back to movie reviews.
Oh, yes. The Netflix one. In the Tall Grass, starring Layla de Oliveira, Avery Whitted, Patrick Wilson, Harrison Gilbertson, and Will Bowie Jr. Now, talking about movies that don't make any fucking sense.
I thought I was watching a Clive Barker short story movie and not a Stephen King one.
I agree. I was like, where is this going? I was waiting for a guy in a vest to come out and start handing people things.
Like, I thought people were going to keep searching for people in the grass, and then it was just going to be, like, a cycle of just search parties coming to look for them and them getting lost, and then more search parties coming and look for them.
No, wait, Dan. Touch the rock. Touch the rock, Dan. Yeah. All will be explained.
Yes.
Grass is just flesh.
Doug,
that scene was actually really gnarly. The skull crushing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I rewound that one a couple times.
So basically, people go into the grass, but time and space are not relative to when you go into the grass. So you're hearing people who have yet to come into the grass in the grass and. They're hearing you and anyway, you know, like people show up weeks later and then they're fine. It turns out they beat someone into the grass that we've already seen. It just was wacky.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I thought it was weird and, but it kind of falls apart in the end as usual.
Yeah. It makes no sense at the end. That's the problem.
No.
And I was kind of... It's filmed in Northern Ontario, if anybody cares, on a farm. Because they need that certain kind of grass, and the church is only half of... That building is only half a building. They don't make the whole building. So when they're filming it... I wish I had more depth. I mean, they seem to be wandering on that grass for a good half an hour before something really happens. And then, like Dan said, more people show up. I'm like, okay, now it's 40 minutes in, and we have the brother shows up. I got it. And then we're going to go to a flashback how the first people got into the grass. Okay? Go somewhere. I never felt the film went anywhere about the last 15 minutes we started explaining everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay.
But it didn't explain anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, he didn't explain anything. And they kind of lets the kid go. I'm like, okay. I'm done. Great. It's over. Move along. Next film.
Yeah.
But.
Go ahead, Doug.
Oh, the ending just left me with more questions than answers, because if they save the kid and the kid saves them and they don't go into the grass, then does that also save... Even forget the boyfriend's name. I'll just call him the boyfriend.
Yeah.
Does that save the boyfriend?
Travis. Does
he turn around and go back?
No.
So he doesn't come looking for them?
No.
So then how does he end up in the grass? And it makes sense, and it was bad.
You might be right.
Travis?
Travis wouldn't come looking for them. He would keep going. Second. He wouldn't go into the grass because they kept going, and she turns around and goes home. Because she tells the boy she's with, okay, I'm done, I want to go back. So you're right, Travis would be safe.
Goes home, she doesn't go to San Diego, and there's no reason for Travis to come back because she goes back to be with Travis.
Yes.
I think because Travis is the only one that's currently in the grass and that he touched the rock, the grass has like a hold on him and he can't leave. And he's just like, okay, so the kid's out, Patrick Wilson's dead, like Becky and Cal, they're good. I'm just gonna let you die and let the grass take me.
I mean, it
made no sense. Like the only rules that are established is the fact that like the only thing the grass doesn't move is dead things.
Correct.
Right.
And who are the grass people?
They probably just weird Canadians.
Hey, got some back bacon, eh? We're going into the grass. They got good back bacon, eh? No idea.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought some of it was creepy, though. Like, that, like, the skull-crushing thing was interesting. I mean, that was really cool. And, like, the rock, like, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And, it, like, because, like, I know everything, so I'm going to show you guys the way. But I thought that was interesting. I think I would have liked this if it made any sense.
I would have liked it better if they had Tim Hortons nearby so we could see where they needed to go. That's why they were in there. I thought I was just looking for the Tim Hortons. They were probably thirsty, like all Canadians.
Oh, hey, I just put some on his shoulders. Double straight ahead.
Yeah, double. Let's go. Doug has no idea what we're talking about, which is kind of funny.
No, I actually do. I'm a little bit versed in Canadiana.
Oh, Canadiana. He's like, yeah, with three Canadians. They're just going to mock him.
There's Tim Hortons in America, too, right?
Yeah, but I don't know if there's one in not where he is, north of him. There
towards
is.
The board.
Okay. Sorry if I'm talking over anybody. My internet's bad today.
No, they have them, like, Detroit has them. They have them in Buffalo. I think they have them in Albany, and that might be the farthest south they go that I know of in New York State. I've never seen one in New York. But they also have them in Spain, Australia, and those kind of places. They have them in other countries now, too.
Okay. Yeah, I just thought there was more because of the Burger King merger.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't drink it, so I wouldn't care.
No. Yeah, they haven't come down to me, so.
Oh, okay.
Doug's going to put on his Canadian hat and big moose hat and go out.
Don't you mean go loat?
Go loat. Go loat and go. Can I have a double-double, eh?
Oh, I've been lost in the grass for fucking a week.
I touched this rock and they didn't give me my double-double, so I just left.
Oh, and like you got a donut, they gave you the wrong donut. You're like, you know what? Like, I can't be bothered to go back.
This is not maple glazed. I can't have this. I'm Canadian. It's not even maple glazed.
Oh, it needs to be served by a moose. Oh,
moose, no. Moose, where's your moose ears? This is not Canada. This is not Tim Hortons. Who sent me to this place? It kind of feels like I went to an amusement park and they didn't have any rides there, Dan.
I know. that's a transition.
Yeah, got it. Good work. Yay.
Carnival of Souls. Which we're finally doing. I didn't really know much about the cast, but I just put down Candace Hilliquas. I don't know if there's any other names.
That's it.
Okay.
Kevin, did you see this?
Oh, it's been a long time, but I have seen it.
Do you want to give it to Doug?
Yeah, if someone wants to talk a little bit about the plot before they go into the...
Doug?
Sure. Okay. Fan. Carnival of Souls, it's basically a woman who was involved in a car accident and leaves to start a new life she has a new job as a organist for a church in a different town. But when she gets to this new town, strange things start to happen. I'll be honest, I thought the story was kind of weak. It felt like a poorer episode of Twilight Zone. But where I thought this movie shined was the visuals. I thought the visuals of the ghouls were just incredible to look at.
And the locations, I think. Some of the locations were kind of cool, if I remember.
Yeah, the amusement park.
Yeah, and they picked on the Criterion disc, if I remember, there was a long documentary about the location and how it was a very popular music hall.
Yes. In
the 30s and on this weird kind of isolated island area with lots of, like by the beach and so forth. And it was very interesting. And the company that made the film, I think, made industrial films. For businesses, that was their big thing.
I think this was the only fiction film that they made.
Yeah, see, and the organ music is very heavy, if I recall, in the movie, is it not? Or, like, part of her, like, it's always playing in the background?
Yes, there is a lot of the organ music.
Cool.
It's very atmospheric. It's a very atmospheric film.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember on the storyline being very interesting, or it's very much like a Twilight. I guess the implication is that she died in the car crash and she was being reclaimed.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but yeah, a very interesting black and white, very crisp and cinematography, and nice use of the grays. And yeah, the ghouls are very interesting. I see, and there was something with water at the end, right? She gets reclaimed into the water or something, or.
You're very close.
I remember them pulling the car out of the water.
Okay. That's the very end.
And she's in the car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess I've seen this more recently than both of you, so I'll help you guys out. At the end of the film, all the zombies or the carnival people come and get her and trap her, and she falls to the ground and they swarm her. So they reclaim her at that point. Now, to further Kevin's point, he's right. It does come off like a Twilight episode, but I thought it worked perfectly. I gave this film. I love this film, Doug. Thank you for recommending it. I loved the build. The build was perfect for me. My major issue with it, because I didn't give it a... I would have probably perfected it. It just had no money behind it. It really upset me, because I felt that hindered the film so much with the budget. They didn't have a lot of extras. They didn't have a lot of depth, except for the final shots of the carnival, where they could finally give a depth shot. I thought that was the biggest problem. They had no money. So when she's doing things, they really had to use the afterlife people a lot and give us glimpse. And I think if they, I know there's a remake, so I want to see if they give it the depth I'm looking for in the remake. Because we don't really see her ever going over to the dark side. We only see this side. And I think that's a production issue with the film, because they have no money to do that other side. Or they never would have thought of it back then. Maybe it would have been too dark to do those kind of things back then, which I think is a hindrance. But I think this film is wonderful. I love that last shot. I think it's just phenomenal. Again, I just wish there was more to it. I find, again, budgetary constraints were probably the biggest issue with this film. And I don't think they expected anything from it.
By the way, I think the other film that you're talking about that has the same name has almost nothing to do with
it. Oh, it's not a remake?
No, there's a Wes Craven Presents Carnival of Souls,
that's
1998.
One. Yes.
And I'm reading the synopsis, and a young girl witnesses the brutal rape and murder of her mother by a circus clown.
No, different
film. Oh, wow. Nightmares when the carnival comes to town when she's an adult.
Damn. Well, I think this film should have a remake at some point, even a Rob Zombie remake I might be able to handle. Fingers crossed. But I think this film is primed for a remake. I think there's so much untapped potential in this film. The organ music is zing. I mean, it's kind of weird because she gets the job and the guy says, I don't think you're quite right for this job. Does he sense that she shouldn't be there? Because it doesn't really explain. He says, you don't believe what we believe in this church. And that's never explained, which kind of bugged me a bit because I kind of wanted a bit more of that. And she has the relationship with the guy, and she's kind of brushing him off.
See, that was the issue I had with the movie, was the neighbor just came off too much of a creep to me for her to have any interest in him. But maybe I'm just looking at it through a modern 2019 perspective.
I agree with you. She blew him off so hard in the first time they meet. And then they hang out later. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And that's not really explained why she changes her mind. And I agree with you, Doug. And again, I think that just they only could pay so many actors, so they needed these actors to do those scenes together. They had no choice. And then I really, really like this film. I love the setting, and I love the staging. I like the script. Again, I just wish they had some more money to answer our final questions. I think it's an untapped potential gem that people need to see. Doug should recommend this on his Facebook.
I will.
I did not see it.
Go away, Dan.
Here's a fun trivia fact.
Candace Hilligoss's agent refused to represent her any further after seeing the movie.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't think she'd ever work again.
I really liked him. She didn't work much. She only did about 4 films, I think.
Oh, so she tried to, one point I'm reading here, so she had an idea for a sequel. And she took it to one of the producers who did produce that remake with the same name, but that remake had almost zero to do with the original storyline. It was just something completely different.
Okay.
Interesting. Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City.
Okay. It's a circus act. Wouldn't the remake be the New York Jets? That's a joke for you, Sam.
I got it.
But a boom, boom.
Apparently, there's a reel of the film that we lost.
Oh, so maybe that would have helped me, Doug.
Yeah. So apparently, the ghouls were all supposed to come out from under the docks and then lead her into the dancing area.
Okay, that doesn't happen. She just sort of shows up there, and then they start dancing.
Yeah, exactly. He says the reel was ruined. The film was ruined.
That sucks. Yeah, I might be out there somewhere. These things pop up. All right. The rules.
What's next?
Opposite of Sex.
Yes. Starring Christina Ricci, Martin Donovan, Lisa Kudrow, Lyle Lovett, Johnny Galecki, William Lee Scott, and Chauncey Lepardi.
So I sort of came across this one on Amazon Prime. Christina Ricci, sort of in her late teens. I think when she made this film, 1998. She plays a bit of a hick from the South who has very strange ideas about love and sex. But she knows how to use people to her own ends, using sex and so forth, and her own sexuality. So she has a brother who is gay, who is a teacher, and she goes to stay with him, and she kind of turns his whole life upside down. She basically convinces his lover to sleep with her, and then that he should leave her brother, and they steal the brother's money, and Lisa Kudrow is kind of hanging around because her brother was going out with Christina Ricci's brother and had died previously and left a lot of money to him, I guess. I don't know. There was a lot of back and forth thing. I thought the dialogue was interesting, but the performances were kind of... Ricci was good. The brother was all right. Kudrow was annoying. I don't know. I didn't have too much to say about this film.
Really? Don't anybody else see it besides me?
I haven't seen it.
I did not get a chance to rewatch this.
Well, I don't think you're missing much. I just felt the film didn't know what it wanted to do. Again, it's all about Christina Ricci's character, and we all know she's a putz. And she keeps using everybody. I'm like, I got the point. But I really felt the film had no direction. It seemed to just be going, Christina Ricci's going to do this, Christina Ricci's going to do that. I just didn't care after a while what she did.
Well, she was selfish and ignorant. But was she evil or was she just ignorant?
I say she's just ignorant because she feels she's deserving of stuff she's not deserving of.
She's very entitled. She's like a millennial.
Yes.
Right? She's owed stuff.
And I found that. But I just felt the film didn't have a nice flow to it. I mean, nobody interests me, Christina Ricci. I actually did like Martin Donovan, if anybody. If I found the most interesting character was him. But I just felt the film had no direction. Like, what was the final outcome? That everybody's happy in the end? And that's really what it was. I'm like, I don't really care.
Had about 3 or 4 different endings to it, so.
Yeah, and none of them, like, made any sense to me or had any overall satisfaction for the film.
No.
It just seemed to be going, we're going to go here, okay, we're going to screw him over, we're going to go here, then we're going to screw him over, we'll go here. I'm just like, I don't care. I mean, Christina Ricci's fine. But again, to me, as an actress, she never became good. She was always fine. Everything, she's okay.
Yeah, no, she did a couple of culty films, and but yeah, she's never really, and she hasn't done much of late, as I recall.
I haven't seen her since Black Swake Moan, maybe the last film I saw her in.
Right, she was going to make a big jump to TV, and she was on that the show about the stewardesses, Pan Am.
Oh,
I did see that show.
And then that was it. I haven't seen her anything since.
I think she also did an Amazon Prime show about Zelda Fitzgerald, I think.
Oh, okay.
She did Lizzie. Wasn't she Lizzie on the Lizzie Borden show?
I don't know what you're talking about, so I can't answer that question.
Lizzie Borden, the serial killer?
Yeah. But didn't they make a show about that and she played her?
No idea.
Yeah, Lizzie Borden Chronicles. Yeah, she played the sport miniseries.
Okay, moving on.
Do we have time for more?
Yeah, we got time. We got to finish off House.
Okay. Yeah, one sec. House, starring William Catt, George Wendt, Richard Mall, Kay Lenz, and Mary Stavin.
Okay, just to back up, she's done Teen Titan Judas Contract, was probably her biggest thing, and she's now doing TV shorts called The Cold Open, a TV short from 2019. She hasn't done anything that I know of. Like, she's working, but nothing we know. Oh, she's in Smurfs too. That's Vexy. So, no, not much.
She's in what?
Smurfs 2, whenever that came out, she was in as a voice.
No.
Is something coming up called The Cold Open?
Yeah.
And then Escaping the Madhouse, the Nellie Bly story. TV movie. Distorted. Looks like something with
John Cusack.
John Cusack. Yeah. Titans. Is that The Beginning of Everything? TV series? I don't know that. Mothers and Daughters. Yeah, Lizzie Borden Chronicles. The Hero of Color City. That looks really good. Anyway, so what's the next movie?
House 1-4. I guess we can do them all kind of at once because we're getting short on time.
All right, who has seen what?
I've seen all four.
Me too. Do I need to bother with the cast list?
No,
or really?
Look them up if you need care, listener.
Okay.
Doug, have you seen all four?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, you say all four, but only the first two are worth watching.
Oh.
In my opinion.
I think the fourth one is worth watching.
Yeah, that's my opinion, too.
And then I definitely rewatched House 1 recently, and I know I've seen 2, but I have not seen the others.
Well, you guys are going to attack me anywhere. I'll start. I watched House 1. I thought it was an okay film. I never really liked much of it. I thought it was okay. Didn't do much for me. I didn't find it scary. I didn't find it too funny. But I got the general principle of it. House 2 bored the crap out of me. It was just almost like a straight comedy. And it didn't do anything. 3 was just a flaming pile of crap. That was just terrible. And 4 is a remake of 1.
Right. So 3, The Odd Man Out, actually does have name actors in it, if I recall.
It does.
And Lance Henriksen and...
But it wasn't a House movie.
Brian James.
They tacked on the House moniker to try to get more attention.
Only in Europe.
Part of us here.
Not in the USA, only in Europe.
Right. Because it was otherwise it was known as the horror show or something.
Yeah. Yes.
Which it was.
It was. It was.
It was a horror show. Yeah.
Terrible film.
Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, I saw the films out of order. So I had seen House 2 first, and I loved it. I saw it when I was a lot younger. I was in the mood for comedy. It had comedy. I thought it had some good makeup. Then I went back and saw House 1, and it wasn't as funny as House 2. So I liked House 2 better. And then 3 and 4 are just garbage. But I will fight for House 2 being the best of the four.
Now, contextually, I agree. Now, I saw House... I don't know about that being better one better than the other one, but definitely contextually, as a child or a young teen, I went and saw a rented house from the video store. So I probably would have been 12 or 13 or whatever year it came out. What year did it come out?
85.
Okay, I'd be 15 or 16. When I worked at Center Island, we rented movies every weekend. I watched all sorts of horror movies. And I liked this one because it wasn't too horrific. There was humor to it. And I liked William Catt, obviously, from Greatest American Hero. And I thought the casting was fun. Martin, the guy from Night Court.
Martin Mull.
You know, it was kind of interesting. That kind of reminded me of Heavy Metal a bit.
Yes.
You know, the comedy and soldiers coming back from the dead. And it looked a bit like something like out of a Bernie Wrightson drawing.
It does.
A soldier back from the dead. And so and it was fun. I like it had loopy logic, but it was still fun. You know, he gets the paramilitary gear, and George Wendt is the annoying neighbor, and
yes.
Yeah. There are lots of little bits out of it, and then it ends so poorly.
Terrible ending.
Like a bad TV movie, like, hey, we saved the kid, da-da-da.
And the wife comes back, it's all good.
And then the guy you didn't kill in Vietnam was like, hey, you should have killed me, buddy.
But I thought William Catt was a lot of fun in this movie, and I enjoyed the movie a lot. But the second one I barely remember, but I do remember it had a lot of comedy, and it's not William Catt in this one.
No, it's Cliff Clavin.
Yeah.
Well, part two got another Cheers guy. It got John Ratzenberger to take over for George Wendt.
He's the best part about that movie.
Yes.
Just a little handyman just with a sword in his thing. Like, oh, you have an alternate dimension here. Let me just, I've seen this before. Let's go in. I saw these in order, like a normal human being. I didn't mind the first one. I thought it balanced horror and comedy pretty well. It's kind of like Evil Dead 2. Like, not, like, as good or anything, but just, like, reminded me of that. The plot was a bit loose for my liking. Because it's like, okay, so his kid was already disappeared. Why doesn't he just get kidnapped when he's there? Like, because they basically do that with the kid that he babysits.
Correct.
I thought the second one was fine. It's kind of like, it's like more straight comedy. It's just an adventure. They bring back their grandpa, great-grandfather from the dead, and there's like a crystal skull that gives them life. I mean, I thought it was pretty good. I liked the scenes. I thought it was similar to like the first one, how like someone that you wronged in the past came back as like the zombie. Then the third one is just a crime story. And it's this cop trying to, like, this really bad serial killer is like haunting this cop. And it's there's a haunted house kind of aspect, but it's more a crime story. It's boring. I hated the fourth one. It's basically, hey, we have William Catt for the first 10 minutes, then he dies in a car accident. And then, hey, there's a pizza that talks. Like, that's literally the only part that's close to horror, but it's not really. And then there's a sleazy stepbrother who wants the property. And it's just really stupid.
Okay, I want to go back up. Did you watch for recently when the little short guy pours something in his mouth and then shoots it out and then gives it to the... I'm like, what was the point of that?
Okay, I'll be honest. There's a feature on VLC Media or something that you could. So I watched the first hour at regular speed, but I hated it, and I watched like the last half hour at like 1.4 speed, and I was glad that pretty much like I got all the sense of the dialogue and the bad acting and the bad cinematography. It looked really bad, and I was glad that it went by that scene quickly because that was disgusting.
Oh yeah, it was.
Like, this is my form of torture. I'm just going to give you my phlegm and pour it down your mouth.
I didn't understand. That was disgusting.
Yeah.
Just kill me at that point. I'm done.
Yeah, that movie was just kill me. It was stupid. And it was more so, it was less horror. There's no horror to it. It was more so, hey, I just want this property so I could dump toxic waste.
Correct.
It's a bad, bad movie.
Wow.
That's it? Okay.
So,
I was just going to, on part three, did anybody else get Shocker vibes, the Wes Craven film?
Yes, 100%. It was Shocker.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen Shocker, but I got more Ernest Goes to Prison.
Never seen it. I've never seen an Ernest film.
Oh, they're actually pretty good. I like the Halloween one.
Okay, you know what to do.
Yeah, it's true. Put it on this.
Okay, did anybody buy anything?
I did.
I know you did.
I got the new Godzilla Criterion box set with all the old 60s and 70s films. And 52, I guess.
Oh, wow. Yes.
I didn't realize it was out already.
It just came out this week, and Barnes & Noble's doing their 50% off Criterion for November, so I jumped on it.
You got a brand new at half price?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, I had to travel to three different stores to find one in stock, but it was worth it.
Yeah, it's on the Facebook page.
I'm sure it must have been hard driving 20 minutes in every direction to find one, doggone.
It actually was. I drove about 40 minutes away.
Oh, life is hard. You had to drive south then.
I was going to say it's like probably like a Tim Hortons, one out of every block, right?
Wow. Okay, that's it. If they make it.
So I bought Hero at Large.
The John Ritter film?
Ritter film, yeah. I love that movie. I'm sure we've reviewed it.
No.
If we never have, then we should add it.
You know what to do.
All right. And then I got The Hard Way.
The Michael J. Fox movie? Why? Fox. You have that movie on DVD on your shelf.
No, on DVD, yeah, but I don't have it on Blu-ray, and I didn't have it. And it was, the DVD is pan and scan, and this is the first time I've been able to get it in widescreen.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
You love that movie more than I do. I will admit that.
And then I did a $5 purchase of The Frighteners.
Love that movie.
Which I love. And a movie which probably should be burned, The Avengers. And it's not The Avengers with the Marvel characters. It's the 98 one. Yeah, it's the Steve
McCormick one.
Is that one in Voldemort? Buff Fiends?
Yes.
Yeah, Ray Fiennes, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I can't say names.
Connery is the villain.
Yes, I remember. He's father.
One of his last films.
Mm-hmm.
Last film isn't Extraordinary Gentleman, isn't that his last film?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he did a Scottish animated one in, like, 2010 that no one knows about.
Well, you know, exactly.
He did voice acting.
Yeah, it was voice acting.
Wonder Woman Bloodlines.
Seen it.
The animated movie. And Rudy.
Seen it.
I love Rudy.
I love Rudy, too.
Oh, and then I've got a digital copy of Man of Steel.
Great. Are we finished?
Yes, sir.
I guess so.
If they make it.
Kevin buys it.
No, Doug drives 40 minutes looking for Tim Hortons, one or the other. Good night, all.
Okay.
Good night.
Hey. Okay.